just 8 years. These banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms. You to be a slave from birth to grave. The banks own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor.
You're listening to the Hour of the Dime. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. Well, a little closer here. So, you heard last night's broadcast, and I'm sure you've been watching the news. And so tonight, we're just going to open the phones, and it's going to be open topic, open phones, open subject, open hour. And you can bring up whatever subject you wish. Now, remember, there's only a couple of rules here. Number one, you don't monopolize my radio broadcast. This is my free speech media. I pay for it, which means you're a guest when I allow you to speak over this broadcast. So, if you have something to say, say it, and if I want to reply, you have to allow me to do that, and we can have an intelligent, polite dialogue. If you don't want to do that, don't call, because I'll cut you off the minute you try that stuff. Number two, you've got to be polite. Number three, it's okay if you disagree with anything I've ever said or ever done. That's fine, but you have to be polite about it. You have to back up your argument with facts, dates, figures, documentation, whatever it is that you've got that will support your argument. You see, I respect that. I like people who can do that. If you can't do it, then, you know, I'll call you on it. And if you persist, then I'll cut you off. But as long as you're polite, you can feel a good argument, or you've got something important to say, and you're you know, reasonably intelligent, then you'll have a voice on this broadcast. And remember, it's got to be a dialogue. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is John calling from Houston.
Hi, John.
I tried to listen to your broadcast last night, but it was odd that every time you were going to spill the goods on Bush and Reagan that the interference really started going up.
We don't take reception reports on this broadcast.
Yeah, but I mean,
I have nothing. There's nothing I can do about it. If you have a reception report or a complaint about reception, direct it to WBCQ. Right now, you're wasting our airtime.
No,
if you have something you want to talk about,
yeah, I want to talk about the coal.
Okay.
And interesting thing, I did some research at the main library in Houston. They have the 2001 edition of Jane's Fighting Ships out. The coal was commissioned back on June the 8th of 96. It has a steel hull, because I think you had mentioned aluminum, but according to the Janes, it has a steel hull.
Oh, well, then that's something that they switched, because when I was in the Navy, they began building all destroyers with aluminum hull in order to lighten the total weight of the vessel so that they could move faster through the water in their pursuit of submarines.
Right. Now, according to James, this is on page 803.
Okay.
The that entire class has steel hulls, but has aluminum funnels, of course, for lighter weight.
Mm-hmm.
But is surrounded by 70 tons of armor. So, as you pointed out, it's going to take one heck of an explosion to cause a hole that big in the ship.
Well,
another thing that's rather interesting that was in James is that the Russian torpedo, that 200-knot squall torpedo, that's 230 miles per hour to the uninitiated, that is being sold as an export torpedo with non-nuclear warheads to countries like Iran, while the Russians have the nuclear warhead model in their own arsenal. And Iran happens to have, and I think Iran may have been involved in this, and I think it could have been a torpedo. There's certainly a possibility there.
Not according to the pictures. if you study the pictures very carefully under magnification, the hull was blown out, not in.
Yeah.
If it was the torpedo that struck that hull, it would have been blown in. Also, what you have just said supports the assertion that explosives in a small boat pulled alongside that ship could not have done that damage.
Well, I agree. Interesting thing, too, guess what else Iran has in their arsenal? On page 325 of James, they have up to 3,000 mines, including the Chinese rising mines, which stay submerged anywhere from a few hours to several days and then can rise rather unexpectedly, let's say after you've sent minesweepers over an area, can just pop up like a jellyfish, and here you go, and boom, you run into it, and there you, down you go.
Yeah, they've had those ever since Vietnam.
Yeah.
On the rivers, they used to plant click mines.
And
these, excuse me?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me? Remember, this has to be a dialogue. If you don't want it to be a dialogue, I can let you go right now. In Vietnam, they would put click mines in the river, and the click mines would count each boat that passed over it. And so they could mine sweep for days, and this mine wouldn't go off until a certain number of boats had passed over it, and then that number of that boat that passed over that mine, it would break loose from the bottom, rise up, and blow it all to hell. And that's not something new. Mine warfare and naval warfare, they're always perfecting these things, and they're always perfecting these weapons. But these are not new things.
Oh no, they go back to World War I.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Iran, interestingly enough, their three submarines are all SSK designation, which, as you know, is Hunter Killer. The first one in their current fleet was commissioned in 1992, then the second one in 1993, and the third one in 1996. So they're modern diesel-electric boats, and they were made for them by the Russians.
Well, I think it would be a mistake to believe that the Iranians only have three submarines.
Well, according to James, now they used to have older types that we had given them, like some of those old Gato class that you and I served on. I was on the Greenfish and you were on the Tyru.
Well, I remember the Greenfish very well.
Oh yeah, 351 out of Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the one
that came in one day with a torpedo through your sail.
No.
Wasn't that the Greenfish?
No.
What years did you serve on board that ship?
I was on board Greenfish in 67.
Oh well, this occurred in 66, and she went out on local operations and. Somebody shot a torpedo right through the sail, and she came in with a huge tarpaulin over the sail. Nobody could figure out what was wrong, and nobody was talking, so we left the Tyru and walked over there and lifted up the tarp, and there was a torpedo through the sail.
Could anybody tell if it was American or Russian?
No, it was American. It was during our own operations off the island of Oahu.
Yeah, like ASW stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of our own torpedoes. It was supposed to be a dummy torpedo, and it didn't explode. It just wasn't supposed to hit the ship. You know how those operations are conducted. They're supposed to pass within a certain number of yards, and that's considered a hit.
Yeah, also, by the way, according to James, Iran also has three midget subs and three more of those under construction.
Yeah, but what's the point of this?
Well, the point of this is that I can't tell from the picture that these doofuses on the media are showing whether or not it was an inward or outward explosion, simply because it seems like they're trying to deliberately blur the image so you really can't get a good observation.
Well, they did. They did deliberately blur. All of the image is in perfect focus except the edges around the hole. And that's absolutely impossible with any film or any camera that you can take a picture with. So it has to be intentional. And the only way it could be done is on a computer. So these photographs were played with on a computer before they were released to the media. But if you take them and put them in a good program like Photoshop and use the sharpening tools and a few of the other tools, you can clearly see that the top edge of the hole is bent out. It's right along one of the longitudinal structural, major structural supports. And so it didn't break that major structural support, and the parts of the hole that stick down below it are bent outward. you can see the left and the right side of the hole are accordioned out and to the side. And, of course, you can't see the bottom of the hole because it's underwater. But if you do that, you'll see that the hole was blown outward from the inside, not inward from the outside. I mean,
it must have been one heck of an explosion when you consider it's a steel hull, and according to James, it's surrounded by 70 tons of armor.
Well, you don't know where that 70 tons of armor really is. It's probably below the waterline where a torpedo would hit, not likely to be above the waterline, because the armor is going to try to protect against torpedoes, not necessarily against gunfire, because modern navies do not engage in large battles at sea using gunfire. So the armor is most likely below the waterline, where a torpedo would be most likely to damage the ship. Submarines are also made especially to engage submarines in warfare. And so the main thrust of its defense would be against submarines. So that would be my guess. Of course, James is not going to tell you where that armored belt is, but I would venture to say it's below the waterline in what's called the torpedo belt, where torpedoes are likely to hit the ship.
Or possibly up to the waterline.
Sure, up to the waterline. That's a possibility also, because the torpedo can be set to run on the surface.
Yeah.
Another thing that you have to understand is that if what you're saying is true, then you have just about absolutely proven by your statement that no small boat coming alongside that ship would have blown that hole in the side.
No, that's absolute fabrication on the part of the government, much like everything else they tell us these days, like Oklahoma City and TWA Flight 800 and so on and so on.
Yeah, it's not even likely that it could have been done if the ship had an aluminum hull, because the hull of the ship and the surface of the water would have acted like a shape for a charge and would have directed the explosive force up and away from the side of the ship. And, I've talked to many explosives experts about this. I've talked to people in UDT. I've talked to people who are experts devising ways to blow up ships from the planting of charges on the hull of the ship underwater through UDT or SEAL team operations. And they tell me that, no, there's no way a small boat could have pulled alongside of an American warship and detonated a couple of hundred pounds or 300 or 400 pounds of explosives in this boat and done the damage that we see in the hull of the USS Cole.
No, that thing stinks like a two-month-old tuna sandwich.
Yeah, it's impossible. It could not happen. And not only that, but the Navy has already lied. They've already lied to us. They told us that it occurred when the ship steamed into the port and this boat came alongside and took the mooring lines and moored the ship to the buoys. And after it moved the ship to the buoys, then it came alongside and they stood up and saluted and blew this hole in the side of the ship. That's what they said.
Then they changed their story.
Then they changed their story and said, well, it didn't happen then. And it didn't happen when this small boat was taking the mooring lines to the buoys. It happened 2 hours later. And the ship was on the second highest level of alert because of the port that they were in. And they allowed somehow this boat to pull alongside without permission, which is absolutely could not possibly have happened unless the entire crew of that ship was totally incompetent. And they said that the guys waved to the people on the ship, and people on the ship waved back. But the people on the ship say that when this boat pulled alongside, there was nothing in it.
Well, that's the thing is, the crew members on the Cole were so much higher off the water, they could have looked down there and seen a doggone paperclip in that rubber boat.
Yeah,
less any explosive.
Well, they said there was nothing. The ones that have communicated with their families who were on the deck or on the bridge, who actually saw, and there was a boat that came alongside, said that there was nothing, absolutely nothing, in the boat. And the boat was not opposed. Nobody tried to stop the boat from coming alongside, which means the boat must have had permission to come alongside.
Well,
because nobody tried to even stop it.
Once again,
period.
Our illustrious, ubiquitous government tells us, trust me, and once again, I failed to do so.
Well, I think one brave crew member tried to tell the world the truth. He said, when he was being interviewed, he was a wounded crew member, he said, I think it was an inside job. Now, what do you think he was trying to tell us?
Uh-huh.
That was on television, by the way.
Yeah, I think I caught that, too.
Yeah. So, that's one brave man. See, that's what I would have tried to do. Because if you're in the Navy, and you've been told not to talk about something, and you've been told that you can't tell the truth about something or say any facts about what happened, then, you know, that's something that you can say that is an opinion of yours, and nobody can crucify you with it, and you can get a message out without ending up in the brig for the rest of your life.
Well, Bill, when I was on the Greenfish, and the boat took off from Pearl to go back to Bremerton for sonar tests, you know, in the Sound.
Yeah.
And
by the way, I loved it when we did that. It's just a wonderful place up there. And if you can get off the boat for a few hours, just walk along the beach, you can. We collected buckets and buckets of oysters and clams.
Well,
and we just had feasts after feast after feast. It was so great.
Yeah, but what was scary were a couple of my shipmates who were aboard the boat. One guy was from San Francisco, another guy was from Idaho. When the boat came back, I was back there at Pearl because I had screwed my back up lifting a camel. And I was back there at Pearl, and when the boat came back from Bremerton, these two buddies of mine were gone, and when I tried to ask about them, all of a sudden, it's like talking about skull and crossbones at Yale.
Well,
you know, people were really antsy, and, we can't talk about it, and this and that.
Well,
these guys literally disappeared.
They must have done something that they weren't supposed to do.
Well, what they did is they had talked about some of their experiences before on the Kamehameha, when they served on her SSBN 642, and how a Russian destroyer had lit out after them at flank speed for over 4 hours one day during peacetime trying to depth charge them. And one of the guys had told me, too, now you notice, by the way, if you look at James, the Kamehameha has been converted from SSBN, a fleet ballistic missile submarine, to SSN, a fast attack. And they said that the missile launch system was inoperative aboard the Kamehameha when it was supposed to be out there defending us with fleet ballistic missiles. They couldn't get the darn things launched because the whole system was screwy. So that's why those two guys disappeared, shall we say, rather quickly, rather suddenly, and very, very hush-hush.
Well, I don't know, but that's why they call it the silent service.
Yeah.
And submarine sailors are not supposed to talk about anything. Nobody knows anything about the submarine service. And during all of the years of the Cold War, the submarine service was actively engaged in really underwater warfare with the Soviet Union.
Well, yes.
And with other navies. And the world doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah, most people don't realize that that's the job of submarines for every man's navy is during peacetime they engage in perpetual espionage activity.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
So, Bill, keep up the great work. God bless you, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. And by the way, when we went up there for torpedo trials, and said, we went to Daybob Bay, and not really Bremerton. I mean, it's close to Bremerton, but we went to a place called Daybob Bay, which was way back there in the forest. I mean, it took a while just to get to Keyport to catch the ferry to go to Seattle.
Well, Greenfish was a Fran Guppy 3, and it had the three puffs.
Yeah, us too. We were Guppies. We were Guppy 3A was our designation, whatever that means.
Yeah, Greenfish was given to Brazil back around 1972 or 73. They renamed it Amazonas, and now it's a museum down in Rio de Janeiro.
Wow. Well, I remember the Greenfish well. I knew some of the people who served on the Greenfish, and I remember the day she sailed in the Pearl with a huge tarp over the sail, and there was a torpedo had been fired, and it missed the pressure pod for the con, and so it didn't endanger anything. It just went through all the fiberglass of the sail and just stuck there.
Yeah, you had it right, too, because we did have a fiberglass sail. While some of the boats had a steel sail, we had a fiberglass sail.
Yeah.
And Commander Blanchard was the captain. And he had called me into the ward room when we were there in the dry docks back in 67 on the accommodation barge. We were all sleeping on that barge. And I had been selected for berthing in the after torpedo room right above a Mark 45 nuclear warhead torpedo.
That's where I slept when I was on the tie route, after torpedo room.
You bet. And he told me in front of the rest of the officers and, of course, one enlisted man in case I needed legal advice. He said, "Mr. So-and-so, as you realize, you've been selected for berthing in the after torpedo room. Are you worried with such a responsibility, worried that the torpedo might go off?" And I looked at him as serious as I could. I said, "Well, Captain, if that thing goes off, I don't think it'll matter which end of the boat I'm on."
That's right.
Just then the weapons officer fell on the deck. He was laughing so hard he was in tears, and the old man kept trying to clear his throat like that. And the weapons officer, Don Ellen, looked up at him and he said, "Captain, you've got to admit the kid's right." And the captain looked at me and said, "I have no further questions. You may return to duty at this time." I said, "Aye, aye, sir." One question, one answer.
Yeah, well, sounds like a pretty stupid question to me. I mean, anything that happens to a submarine while it's under the surface, it doesn't matter where you're sleeping.
Especially with a nuke. I mean, you're going to be vaporized no matter which end of the boat you're on.
Well, you know, that's kind of a silly thing to even postulate anyway, because there's so many safety locks put into those things that a nuke is not going to go off unless you intentionally set it off.
Exactly.
And in a torpedo, it has to run a certain distance before it can go off anyway.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Well, thanks for your call.
Take care, Bill.
Yeah, and I'm always happy to hear from a fellow sub-sailor.
God bless you.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of the hour. It's open topic, open phones, open subject, open whatever. And so you're welcome to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about. That was an interesting call. Fellow sub-sailor who served on the Greenfish, which was birthed just a couple of piers down from us at the submarine base in Pearl Harbor. Good evening, you're on the air. Chicken plucker. That's what people are who call and hang up in fear that I might answer the phone. And if you have that kind of fear, why do you bother even dialing the phone in the first place? I can never figure that out, you know? Hey, reach down, get hold of your ass, bud. You know, get some guts and carry it through. Jeez, if you're afraid to call and talk to me, what are you going to do when the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan? You won't be able to dig a hole fast enough to hide yourself. My goodness. 520-333-4578 is the number. Tonight's open phones, open subject, open topic, open whatever the hell you want it to be. I don't care. That's just, you know, that's tonight. That's what it is. It's open everything. So do it, you know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Will from Missouri.
Hi, Will from Missouri.
I thought our first conversation, which was the evening that you first announced the explosion on the coal, that it might have been an intentional explosion. And having heard the other person think that it could also be like an inside job, kind of confirmed that. But it seemed to me as though that kind of an action would be an ideal way to fan up the patriotic fire and get people to rally behind the flag, so to speak, to pave the way for whatever the next activity might be by the U.S.
Not to rally behind the flag, but to rally behind the state of Israel. Mm-hmm. That's what the whole thing's all about.
kind of like
the enemies of Israel have attacked a United States warship. Therefore, we must support the state of Israel, no matter how right or how wrong they are.
Yes.
Gross stupidity.
I believe so. Well, that's all I've really had to contribute. So.
Well, I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good evening, sir.
Thank you for your call. And I don't know if it was an inside job. I don't know what really happened on board the USS Cole. All I know is when we examine the photographs that are available to us under magnification in computer programs that will allow us to cut through the haze that they put around that part, the hull was blown out, not in. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bill. This is Mike in Philadelphia.
Hi, Mike.
Okay, this isn't the reason why I called, but I just think I'll add this since everybody's talking about the USS Cole. Remember a few months ago when everybody was talking about how they thought Saddam Hussein was going to do something about fixing the election for the president?
Mm-hmm.
Just figure it's kind of funny, that's all. But I just wanted to call you up about last night's show about the UFOs.
Sure.
And how you say that the...
Yeah, they're not UFOs.
Human origin.
The government knows exactly what they are.
Okay, so you think...
They're only UFOs when we look at them.
Okay, so you think the Nazis are really the ones that came up with them?
With the original design and the original flying prototypes, yeah. And they used reciprocating engines and jet engines, some of the first jet engines, I might add.
Oh, okay, yeah, see, because I looked into this matter myself, but how do you explain, I look at clippings from, the 1800s and stuff like that about people seeing weird objects in the sky. How do you explain stuff like that?
Well, how do you explain something, people that see weird objects in the sky every day, and it turns out to be Venus or some weather balloon or a bird or a duck or you know. People have always seen weird objects in the sky. If you look up in the sky and you see something and you don't know what it is, it's a weird object, isn't it?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, though, but I mean, you know, I just see, news clippings, from the 1800s about...
Well, how do you know you're looking at news clippings from the 1800s? Where did you get these news clippings from the 1800s?
Well, out of ufology books.
Oh, yeah! Well, how do you know they're from the 1800s? How do you know these guys didn't write them themselves in the back room of the ufology magazine? And by the way, it's ufology, ufology.
That's why I said that. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, you're right, I guess.
How do you know? Did you look it up and see if these really were newspaper articles?
To be honest with you, no.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. You start looking them up, you'll find out it's bullshit.
Okay, so you saying I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to try it. Okay,
yeah, that's right. By golly, for the first time, you started using your own head. You didn't believe what I said, did you? You questioned it, didn't you? That's exactly what I've been trying to get you guys to do for years. Look it up yourself. Stop believing these clowns. Stop believing me. Stop believing Clinton. Stop believing Bush. Stop believing your mother. Go out and look the stuff up. By God, you got a brain, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Then use the damn thing. If you're not going to use it, then, pull it out and throw it away.
Okay, have a good night now.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Well, I like that. I like that. I really do. It's what I've been trying to get you guys to do forever. And nobody ever does it. Nobody ever does it. Nobody. You read this stuff and it says, oh. You read some ufology book and it says, oh, we found newspaper articles from the 1600s that say that there were ships floating over, and little green men came down and people were abducted. Bullshit. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I know.
Hi. Right.
The Green Party.
The Green Party or the Green Men?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Is the Green Party made up of green men? How about green women? Green children?
Well, we're certainly going to hear more and more about the Green Party, no doubt.
Why?
Because I would imagine that it's an international movement.
Well, let me set you straight right now.
Okay.
You're not going to hear any more about the Green Party in this country other than what you've heard already.
You think so?
Yeah. Let me explain something to you.
Okay.
Everybody in this nation could vote for Ralph Nader, and either George Bush or Al Gore is still going to be president.
That's correct.
Now, what did I just say?
You said that everybody in this nation could vote for Ralph Nader, and either Al Gore or George Bush are still going to be president.
That's right. So what is this talk about? We're going to hear more from the Green Party.
Because regardless of whether or not Al Gore,
what are they moving forward to? I mean, the whole purpose of a political party is to put their people in office, isn't it?
Yeah, and people are going into office at the local level.
Local level, the Green Party. But local level you guys don't understand. Washington, D.C. is a reflection of the local level. Washington, D.C. could not be as corrupt and as socialist and as communistic and as treasonous and as subversive as it is if it wasn't that way in your hometown.
Right. Well, you might not see where I'm going with this.
No, I don't. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Explain what's the purpose of what you're saying, because
I don't
understand it.
In Germany, where the Green Party, in a way, got started, right now they have a cabinet-level minister who's part of the so-called Red-Green Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was in very contentious times during the bombing of Serbia,
mm-hmm.
because the Green Party people in Germany were none too happy about the fact that he didn't resign, that he basically supported that.
Yeah, but is that something you would really want? I mean, what does the Green Party represent?
Oh, well, it's very undefined.
Well, no, it's not. It's very defined. It represents socialism.
Oh, without a doubt.
So why would anybody be concerned about the Green Party getting in office? I would be concerned about keeping them out of office.
Oh, I totally understand what you're saying. I'm not at all advocating the Green Party.
So I don't understand where you're going with this.
Well, my point
is... Are you trying to say that the Green Party is going to become powerful at some date in the future?
Yeah, it's possible. And part of the reason that it's possible is that it's both... It's an international party.
Yeah, it is. And that means globalists. That also means world government.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And isn't that one of the things that Nader is for?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If
okay.
you listen to what he says, you'd get that impression.
No, well, I listen to what he says, and I didn't get an impression. I know exactly that he's definitely for world government under the United Nations.
Here's the problem, though. The problem is this, is that we saw the riots in Seattle, and we know that they were engineered to a certain extent.
They were staged. They were engineered. They were conducted. All these young people and all these groups didn't go up there on their own or under their own steam or their own power or their own motivation to do these things.
But we can't say all, because there were definitely different factions there.
No. Really, all. Because once here's what happens. Once these things start, then people in the local vicinity will come up just to get in on it so that they don't miss out. But you can't count them as really being part of it.
Yeah, but
they're like groupies.
Now, there were definitely people there, Bill, who were highly critical of the World Bank. And what I'm saying to
No, wait a minute. How can you back up what you're saying? The whole thing was organized. People that were there were actually busted, trucked there, and drove there in carpools. I mean, this was organized for months all across the country. And the only people who were not there as a part of the organized protest were people who lived within like 100 miles who came just to be a part of the happening. Oh, I was there, man. Yeah, I was one of the demonstrators. And oh, yeah, I got gassed and, you know, something they can talk about, tell the kids about. But they weren't a part of it. They had no goal. They had no agenda. They were there because they were groupies.
I think what you're saying is largely true, but I think it's overstated. And what I think we're going to see is, you know, people are talking about the fact that what needs to happen to derail what's going on that we don't like is a meeting of the minds between people on the so-called right and people on the so-called left. And there's going to be a schism that's going to develop on the left. And, you know, we've seen it in what happened at the Pacifica radio station there in Berkeley.
It's happening right now in the presidential election. Gore doesn't have a chance. Unless like I've taught you all before, the Electoral College elects Gore, ignoring what the popular vote's going to be. And,
right.
And I'm telling you right now, that's a great possibility, because they really want Gore in there really bad.
Yeah, that will be a very interesting thing if it were to come to pass. But my point that I wanted to ask you is
it's about time you got around to asking me where your point was.
Have you followed Green Party politics in Germany enough to know about the death of Petra Kelly?
Yeah.
What do you know or make of that? Do you think she was assassinated?
Absolutely.
What faction do you think assassinated her?
The extreme left faction.
The extreme left faction?
Yeah.
And that because her boyfriend was an old-time anti-communist from days gone by?
Absolutely. And she was she tended toward the extreme moderate, if not slightly to the right.
Right. And I wanted to get that out, because I wonder how many people right now who are hearing about the Green Party, wondering what's it all about. You need to do a little homework, and you need to take a look at the Red-Green Coalition.
Oh, they need to do a lot of homework. don't let them get away with a little. They got to do a lot. Thanks for calling.
All right, though.
520-333-4578 is the number. It's your turn. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah.
Robert from Tennessee.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I got a question about the IRS.
Yeah.
Okay, is it true that one time the checks was going, you say they would go to the Federal Reserve thing?
Did you ever look? How many years have you been filing returns and sending a check to the IRS?
Well, now, you know, since I've been paying them, I probably about a good year now.
Did you get the checks back, you know?
Well,
did you ever turn it over and look on the other side and see who cashed it?
Right. Well, I just got one back, and, you know, funny thing, one of my checks bounced.
Uh-oh.
And it came back to me.
Yeah.
And now, it did not have the Federal Reserve. It had the Treasury on the back.
Well, that's something new. What did it say?
Well, you know, it just have the stamp of, you know, like say, it just say Treasury there.
But it wasn't cashed.
No.
Okay.
They
forget that. I'm talking about the ones that are cashed. Didn't you ever send any other ones that were cashed, that were accepted?
Well,
if you turn it over, you'll find a stamp that says pay to any Federal Reserve Bank to the account of the United States.
Right. Well, this was the only one that
I should say to the credit of the United States, which means they're paying a debt.
Right.
So yes. You got it back, but it bounced.
Right. No.
So that don't count. Nobody cashed it.
Right. Okay. Right. So they must have changed from the Federal Reserve.
No. Nobody cashed your check.
Oh, okay.
Nobody cashed it.
Uh-huh.
It was no good.
Okay.
So nobody cashed it. It wasn't stamped anything. Nobody cashed it. It wasn't cashed.
Right. So they just sent it from the IRS back to myself?
I have no idea. I have never seen your check. I don't know what happened to your check, but I will tell you this. Every check that I ever sent to pay my income tax when I was stupid enough to do it, always when it came back, I turned it over, said pay to any Federal Reserve Bank to the credit of the United States or to the account of the United States. And that's what it was. It never was paid to the Treasury.
Right.
And I have looked at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of checks that were returned after being sent in to pay income tax, and they all said the same thing.
Right.
Now, if now they're saying that's going to the Treasury, then that's something new.
Right.
But your check was not cashed, so you can't use your check to say that it went to the Treasury, because it didn't. It didn't go to anybody.
Right. Well, I'm trying to learn how to, you know, I'm learning about how to get out of the, you know, learning how to get out of the system now.
You don't have to get out of it. There is no law that has ever been passed by the Congress that requires any citizen of any state to file and pay the income tax. You just have the balls. You just have to have the balls to stand up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore until you can prove to me that I'm required to do it. And if you come and try to make me do it, I'm going to protect myself with everything that our founding fathers gave us, including the Second Article Amendment, the use of the force of arms.
Right.
To oppose your tyranny. Now, if you haven't got the guts to do that, you better not even start to begin with.
I know exactly what you mean there. Right. Okay, that's all I wanted there. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah, folks, if you want to be free, you got to be willing to die for it. If you're not willing to die for it, you can't be free ever. You can't have it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hello, Bill. How you doing?
Good. I may be the only free person in the world right now.
My name's Aaron. I'm calling from Canada.
Hi, Aaron.
Just a very short question about picking your broadcast up on the Internet. I've been trying
I have nothing to do with that. Don't waste my airtime with that. If you want to know about that, contact WBCQ. They're the ones who do it.
Okay.
If you go to our website, williamcooper.net, you can listen to past broadcasts, but you have to pay for it.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
Okay. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you want to listen to the live broadcast, WBCQ has this broadcast live on the Internet. Whether or not you can pick it up, I don't know. Whether or not WBCQ is broadcasting it, I don't know. They say they are. But don't waste my time with it because I have nothing to do with it. Call WBCQ. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. This is Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Turn your radio off.
I'm sorry?
Turn your radio off.
Why don't I just turn my radio off?
Good for you.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
How long has it been since you filed your federal income tax return?
Been a long time.
And you're not? Well, obviously, you're still walking around free. And
absolutely. Yep. I have not filed an income tax return since about 1986, I think. 85 or 86.
So how do you explain that you not apparently suffered any adverse...
What do you mean not suffered any adverse consequences? There's a federal arrest warrant for my arrest. If you go to the U.S. Marshals website, you'll see me listed as armed and dangerous fugitive.
Why don't they just come and get you?
Why don't you ask them? Personally, I don't think they have any balls. Personally, I think they know that I'm right, because when the U.S. Marshal came up here to try to serve me with something, I ordered him off my property because he was trespassing, because I told him, and he knew he didn't have jurisdiction within the state, and he actually left my property and stood in the middle of the public road to talk to me, because he knew I was right. Now, let me ask you something else.
Yeah.
Why do you file and pay your income tax? That's what I thought. You haven't got the slightest idea, do you?
No.
Cite to me the law that requires you to do it.
Well, I certainly can't.
Then who's the dummy, me or you? You see, I've done the research. I can't find any law. I sued the IRS to force them to show me why I should. They couldn't do it.
What kind of legal bills did you incur?
Just the filing fee. I represented myself. And that's the reason they issued the warrant for the arrest of my wife and myself in order to stop that lawsuit, because they were losing.
How do you avoid being arrested then?
Why don't you ask them? I'm right here in my house.
There's a warrant.
I'm right here in my house, you dummy. Are you listening to me?
Well, I can't help but
ask them. I'm right here. I'm available. The only thing that keeps me alive, let me tell you right now, is number one, I'm right. Number two, I'm willing to die for what I believe in, which means a lot of them are going to die if they come up here and try to kill me or arrest me, because I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Yeah.
And number four is ignorant people like you that file and pay and don't even know why you're doing it.
Like me, don't have nationally or
you don't need a nationally anything. Are you an American? Are you an American?
Yes,
do you believe in freedom?
Of course.
Do you believe in the United States of America?
Bet I do.
Can you find a law that requires you to file and pay the income tax?
No, I can't.
Then why are you doing it? I'll tell you why. No. Don't give me all this bullshit. I'll tell you exactly why. It's because you're a coward.
Really?
Absolutely, and you know it. You know it, because if you can't find a law that requires you to file and pay it and you still do it, there's only one reason in this world that you're doing it. It's because you're a coward.
Food for thought, Bill.
Yeah, well, when you get the balls, call me back.
Thank you.
Good night. That goes for the rest of you. 520-333-4578 is the number. Who's the fool? The person that files and pays because they're scared of the IRS in America? A place where there's not supposed to be any despotism or tyranny? Or me, who stands up... See, I stand upon the law. I stand upon the law. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
Good for you.
Yeah, I have, I guess, just a couple of questions. Maybe you could, I guess, give me maybe what you think or whatever. My question is, you know, what I've been thinking this myself, what am I going to do personally when they try to come and take the guns from me illegally, of course. You know, I'd have to be...
I can't...
I'd have to be personally ready for that.
I can't answer that question for you.
Oh, no, I know that, but it's just, I guess, a question for the audience that each listener should really think about, because it's not a make-believe thing anymore. That
no, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So and what do you think you're going to do?
Well, actually, I was thinking about...
No.
Hello?
No. What do you think you're going to do?
What do I think that they're going to do?
No, what do you think you're going to do when they come to get your guns?
Well...
And be honest.
Well,
Nobody knows who you are but you.
No, exactly. But, in other words, I was thinking about contacting the...
You didn't answer my question. When they come to get your guns, what are you going to do?
Well,
you personally going to do?
Well, my plan is to find out in advance and not be around when they come.
What if you can't find out in advance? What if all of a sudden you wake up one morning and helicopters have landed at each end of your street and the street's blocked off and you can't go anywhere and they're going to knock on your door in 3 minutes and they're going to demand that you turn over your guns? What are you going to do?
Well, then I'm just going to have to fight until I can't fight anymore, break out the 338.
Are you really going to do that, or are you just saying this, you know, because a lot of people are listening?
No.
I mean, what's the truth? What are you really going to do? Are you really willing to give your life for freedom and make them suffer the penalty of doing it? Because I'm telling you this right now. If every one of us can take down more of them than our own life is worth, they're going to stop doing it real quick because they won't have anybody that will volunteer to go do it.
Well, I'm going to have to because if I don't, I'm just going to end up a slave or shipped off to some UN court or whatever it is, and I would be doing a disservice to the posterity and the nation and things like that.
Do you have children?
To let that happen.
Do you have children?
No, I don't, but I have a lot of young nephews and nieces and things like that.
Do you love them?
Yes, I do.
You want to see them live the rest of their life in slavery?
Certainly not.
Okay.
Then
you have to be willing to die in order to prevent that from happening and to prevent yourself from living a life of slavery in this new world communist order. And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And then just a real quick follow-up thing. Do you believe if there are any... Anybody overseas, any, I guess, rulers or presidents or prime ministers, do we have any allies in this struggle besides us here in the U.S., or are we the only ones left?
Somehow,
I'm always hoping that maybe there might be someone out there.
You've got to be joking. Most of the world hates the United States of America.
Oh, I know that, and some of them have good reason.
They don't separate us from the United States of America.
Yeah, exactly.
We're Americans.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't shed any tears, or maybe very few.
No, they would probably rejoice when the Ayatollah Khomeini called the United States of America the Great Satan. He was not joking, and he was absolutely correct. absolutely correct.
Yeah, in some ways, I can see his point, but, you know, he's a little...
Now, I'm not talking about the United States of America that the Founding Fathers created. I'm talking about Washington, D.C. today.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And so was he.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to leave the phone now, but interesting speaking with you, Bill.
Yeah, and, you know, stand fast. Be willing to die for what you believe in. If you're not, then, you know, forget it. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're talking to Howard from New York.
Hi, Howard.
Just got your show for the first time. I like what I hear.
Well,
I just called to tell you I'm enjoying your show. I'm listening to it on my little shortwave radio here. I guess, have a lot to add. I sure like what you have to say, though.
Well, good.
I'm certainly impressed with it. What time can I catch this show every night?
10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday night.
10 p.m. till whenever?
10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday night.
Until when?
So what time
does the show end?
It's a one-hour broadcast.
It's a one-hour broadcast.
Yeah.
I sure appreciate it, and I'll be listening every night. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
520-333-4578. We've got time for maybe two more calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Carl Chairman.
Are you... Turn off whatever you're on because I'm getting...
Okay, that's all right.
20 tons of... I'm still getting feedback.
Well, it looks like right now that's off.
Well,
I... Can you hear me?
Nope. Goodbye. Can't do anything for you, my friend. I don't know how you were calling me or what you were on, but it was the worst call I've ever had as far as feedback goes. You almost blew my eardrums out. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you're on some kind of funny thing, you know, make sure that there's not going to be any feedback in it or don't do that. I have no idea what you were using to call me, but it wasn't any normal telephone. I know that. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
I was calling about the Green Party. I was thinking that they had put the Green Party out before the Americans here at this election time because so many of the liberal Democrats, socialists, and crypto-Marxists out there have started to lose their religion. And this is kind of a way to catch their fall.
Well, that's one of the theories that's been proposed. But if that's true, if that's what they really did, it's certainly not working at all. It's not taking votes.
It worked in Europe.
Well, it's not working here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, it's only in the very early stages right now.
Well, whatever it is, it's not working. And if this is the election that it was designed to circumvent, it's not working.
Well, it's not working if it's to circumvent the election or to create a problem for the two men that are running right now.
It's not working. It's not creating a problem for either one of them. And
it certainly
is not promoting their candidate for presidency.
Oh, I totally understand it. My point to be made is designed to catch those that are losing their religion.
It might be.
It's not about affecting. It may be.
And the only reason I'm doing this is because we're out of time. But it may be, but it's not working.
Yes,
it may have been designed to do that, but it's not working. And we're out of time, so I got to let you go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. I really appreciate your call.
It's for the people.
Yeah. Thanks, folks. Had a lot of good calls tonight. I enjoyed this broadcast. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you. I will always love you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Something's not right.
Hold out your arms. Satan's dead while passing through. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, say of the fact.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Dance with yourself and do what you're told.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And put the same take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar and right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic, then rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white program agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded by the UN in white flags, the ATF, the men in black, and the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID? Debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. The sonic mind manipulation, inciting riots, is crisis creation. Biochip implantation, vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of healthcare benefits that's always there. Can never be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. Planned confusion. Masonic religion. It's a liar. Not your praying for a Luciferian Messiah. The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods of Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters in satanic birth.
Oh. maybe millions of people could go by, but they only love me. Thank you.